Hi, we're the Bootlickers, and you're listening to
Queer Music Heritage
on KPFT in Houston.
There's a gay spirit singing in our hearts, leading us through these troubled times. The gay spirit moving round this land, calling us to a time of open love.
Welcome to Queer Voices on KPFT, and this segment is called Queer Music Heritage. I'm J.D. Doyle, and I'm here on the fourth Monday of each month to bring you an hour devoted to our culture's music. I plan to cover a lot of territory in terms of years and types of music. Mostly, I just don't think the gay and lesbian music of the past should be forgotten, and I try to give a little information about the music and artists as I go. I also slip in songs from the present as well. I introduce this segment with the song Gay Spirit by Charlie Murphy from the 1979 album Walls to Roses. It's one of my favorite gay anthems, and here's just a little more of it.
It's a gay spirit singing in our hearts, leading us through these troubled times. A gay spirit moving round this land, calling us to a time of open love.
Tonight's show is an all-Australian show. It's devoted to the music of gay and lesbian artists from Australia, and I've got special interviews with three of the artists I'm featuring. One of these artists was in the group that had the first album by an openly lesbian band in that country. But before I get to that, I want to start with a song by the Gay Liberation Choir, and they spell choir Q-U-I-R-E. That group was formed around 1981, partly in protest to a very conservative movement at the time. In America, we had the Moral Majority, and in Australia, they had the Festival of Light. And that was the name of the song, written by Judy Small, that the choir did. The song mentions Anita Bryant, along with two of her Aussie counterparts, Mary Whitehouse and Freda Brown. The song appears on their only release, a 7-inch, 45 RPM EP, which was called Hormones and Genes. The Gay Liberation Choir goes down on vinyl. Here's their version of Festival of Light.
I am a member of the Festival of Light, and I know what's wrong and I know what's right. Right is right and you're gonna be left if you don't agree with me. Mary Whitehouse is our guru, and we believe that we can cure you of every social sin and ill, from the swan to circular key.
So come on in and close your mind, you can leave it at the door behind you. Come on in and sit right down, we make the blind to see. With our hands upon the Bible, we commit all kinds of libel. So raise your hands up to your heart and repeat after me. Oh, I hate Reds and I hate women. Homosexuals are sinning, child molesters, and the Lord knows that it just ain't right.
I stand for
good, clean, wholesome family living. All my sins have been forgiven. I'm pure as snow as I dose, I don't. Festival of Light.
We follow the lead of moral giants, Freda Brown and Anita Bryant. The media's behind us, we're committed to our cause. Women's places in their houses, looking after kids and spouses. Except for Anita, Mary and Frida, they go by different laws.
So come on in and close your mind, you can leave it at the door behind you. Come on in and sit right down, we make the blind to see. With our hands upon the Bible, we commit all kinds of libels. So raise your hands up to your heart and repeat after me. Oh, I hate Reds and I hate women. Homosexuals are sinning, child molesters, and the Lord knows that it just ain't right.
I stand for
good, clean, wholesome family living. All my sins have been forgiven. I'm pure as snow as a dose I know with Festival of Light. I'm pure as snow as I dose I know with the Festival of Light.
I got
Papa's gotta tell Mama there'll be no husband blues. Gotta tell Mama there'll be no husband blues. Well, I'll be weeping and wailing, tearing up hell. They'll be throwing that glory box into the air. When I tell my Mama there will be no husband, I got those gotta tell Mama there'll be no children blue. Gotta tell Mama there'll be no children blue. There'll be wringing of hands and gnashing of teeth. There'll be mumbling and moaning in disbelief. When I tell my Mama there'll be no grandchildren. Tell Mama, my partner's come to stay. Well, all the startled expressions and shaking of heads over two grown women with only one bed. When I tell my Mama, my partner's come to stay. Gotta tell Mama,
gotta tell Mama,
gotta tell Mama. Gotta tell Mama there'll be no husband. Gotta tell Mama there'll be no children. Gotta tell Mama that woman's here to stay.
I followed the Gay Liberation Choir with Vicki Bennett singing Coming Out Blues. That was from a various artist compilation of women's music called More Than a Pretty Face from 1994 and came out of Adelaide. Adelaide is in South Central Australia and is also where my first interview guest lives. Her name is Nikki Mortier, and she is part of the history of gay and lesbian music in that country because she was a member of the group that issued the first album by a lesbian band in 1978. The name of the album was Wake Up Sister, and the group was called Lavender Blues. Here is Nikki Mortier talking about the group.
Okay, well, Lavender Blues was a trio of women, a lesbian trio set up in about 1977-78. It was comprised of myself, Darrell Pinch, who was then my partner, and Carol Deegan. It came about because Darrell was a songwriter, a very good songwriter, really. And one night we were sitting around, as one did in the 70s. In those days, it was a flagon of wine, which was a glass bottle of about 2 liters. We had that in the middle of the floor, and there were a group of us slowly sinking into the west with the flagon and singing songs. And we realized that we were forgetting the words of Darrell's songs. So someone in the room said, would we make a tape recording of it for them before we forgot the words? Someone else said, oh, yeah, I want a copy of that too. And then someone else said, I want a copy of that too. And so it ended up that, you know, it looked like we were going to have to make multiple copies of a tape of the song. So I said, sort of half jokingly, oh, look, there's so many people want a copy, we should just make a record. In those days, of course, it was the record, not the CD. And everyone laughed and fell about and said, yeah, let's do that. And we all sort of, you know, fell into hysterics about making a record and how silly the idea was. The next morning I woke up and my immediate thought was, well, hang on, why don't we make a record? What's to stop us? And so we did. And really, we produced the record and then promoted it and became very popular in Sydney and Melbourne, the sort of east coast of Australia. Women were starved in those days for anything because, as far as I know, we were the first Australian lesbian group to put out an album. So we were sort of the flavour of the month in the lesbian community for a couple of years.
How did you name the group?
Well, Darrell had written a song which is on the record called Lavender Blues Mean What They Say, I'll Never Again Be Any Man's Lady. And so from that song we took the name Lavender Blues.
This would be a good time to hear the song Lavender Blues.
You're a lesbian freak with a feminist streak. Keep your mind fixated in a role that's outdated.
You violate all the cultural taboos. Come on and join in on the Lavender Blues, yeah.
Come on and sing the Lavender Blues.
If you're compulsive, obsessive, or even regressive,
if you're deviated or are alienated,
you really ain't got much to choose. So come on and join in the Lavender Blues, yeah.
Come on and sing the Lavender Blues. Lavender Blues mean what they say. I'll never again be any man's slave. Lavender Blues, just come and see. It's a lavender world when your feelings run free.
Alcoholic or you're plain neurotic,
if you're in drug strife or disgruntled with life, you really can't afford to refuse to join in on the Lavender Blues, yeah.
Come on and sing the Lavender Blues.
If you're immature
or just not sure,
if you're feeling frustrated and deactivated,
move on in,
take up the cues
and join in the Lavender Blues, yeah. Come on and sing the Lavender Blues. Lavender Blues mean what they say. I'll never again be any man's slave. Lavender Blues, just come and see. It's a lavender world when your feelings run free. Lavender Blues mean what they say. I'll never again be any man's slave.
Lavender,
Lavender, Lavender Blues.
I thought the lyrics to the song Lesbian Nation were kind of interesting because it was kind of like saying, okay, women, we've helped your women's causes. Now it's your turn to help with the lesbian causes.
Absolutely. That was, of course, by the, you know, mid to late 70s. I imagine it was the same in America. It was certainly a big issue here that the women's movement had arrived. Lesbians were disproportionately represented in the feminist scene, mm-hmm. and were very much drivers of a lot of the political action. So that issues like childcare and equal pay and also those sorts of issues often were led by lesbians who themselves didn't have any, were not going to get any particular personal benefit out of it. And it was interesting that there was a divide in the feminist movement, and there were a lot of feminists who took the view that they didn't want to be outwardly supportive of lesbians and therefore maybe labelled themselves as lesbians.
I think that was true here too.
Yes, because that they felt that would discredit the feminist cause. And so that caused a lot of bitterness. And I think to some extent, to be honest, that whole situation still persists.
Mm-hmm.
So that particular song was sort of, I guess, an expression of our frustration of time. At the, to some extent, a feeling of being used and abused, I guess.
Let's hear that song. Here is Lesbian Nation.
But when it comes to choosing a mate, I vote for your rights, and that's so fine. What have you done to fight for mine? Where do we go to after liberation? Is this really our salvation? Building a road to a lesbian nation, or leading back to isolation? Abortion laws for your liberty. What about our sexuality? Where do we go to after liberation? Is this really our salvation? Building a road to a lesbian nation, or leading back to isolation? Let's open up that history then. And I contend the feminist movement flows up and down, but the lesbians always seem to drown. Where do we go to after liberation? Is this really our salvation? Building a road to a lesbian nation, or leading back to isolation?
Musically, I wonder if you can compare the women's music movement in the United States to that in Australia. Like in the 70s here, there were all the Olivia artists like Holly Near and Mae Christian and all those. Was there anything comparable in Australia?
Not really, to my knowledge. In fact, those artists were sort of the dominant music for Australia. And that's true in our mainstream culture as well, that American music has tended to dominate our musical culture, and certainly Mae Christian and so on were the, you know, Tret Fury and Chris Williamson, they were sort of the big popular artists, and in some ways still are.
Does Judy Small go back that far?
Well, Judy does go back that far. Judy I'm a great Judy Small fan. She's a wonderful performer. She actually performed one night when she was known in the folk circuit, but not much else. And we actually employed her, Lavender Blues employed her to sing at a concert that we were putting on, where, if you like, we were the headline act when we were at our peak, and we employed Judy Small to come and sing for us. And in some ways, I think that concert became a real launching pad for her career, which was sort of nice.
What gay and lesbian artists do you admire?
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, probably my favourite is Alex Dobkin. I love Alex Dobkin's work, and I think she's got a wicked sense of humour, which I really like. So she would be right up there.
Looking back 20-plus years after doing that album, do you have any comments?
Oh, I'm very pleased we did it. And I think that the reasons we did it persist today. I mean, we did it with a number of things in mind. I mean, one of them was because we wanted to preserve the music, and I think that's incredibly important that we preserve our culture and our music, and I think we're not very good at that in our culture, certainly in Australia. I suspect everywhere we still haven't learnt to value our heritage. So things happen and pass and they're forgotten, and so I'm very pleased we put it down on a record. I mean, I'm absolutely blown away that 25 years later, here someone in America has got it. You know, like, it shows the pervasiveness of culture and music and our connectedness across the world.
And staying power.
Yeah, but you've got to put it in a form that's got some permanency. So I'm really delighted that that's happened. Given the circumstances, I think we didn't do too bad a job.
That was Mickey Mortier of the Lavender Blues.
Hi, this is Peter Hicks in Tasmania, Australia, and you're listening to Queer Music Heritage on KPFT in Houston.
And that little promo was done by Peter Hicks, who is my next interview guest. But first, I want to ask you to be sure to listen to After Hours with Jimmy Carper every Saturday night at midnight on KPFT. It's queer radio with attitude. And this is a good time to mention that since there are often so many obscurities heard on this show, I thought those of you on the internet would like to be able to see photos of the artists and recordings and view the playlist, so you can see what all these Australians look like. You could do that at www.queermusicheritage.com. Peter Hicks is a folk singer from Sydney who sings a lot of political songs. He writes the songs together with his lover, Jeff Francis, and they now live in Tasmania. I started off the interview by asking him what it was like writing songs with his lover.
It's sort of part of the process of what got us together as a couple is the sort of songwriting process. When Jeff first met me, I was a musician, and he started penning some lyrics that I really related to and started putting some tunes to. I don't know, which I'm not sure which happened first, the songwriting or the relationship, but it's sort of, for whatever reason, it's certainly been a strong part of why we've been together for so long.
A lot of singers write about relationships. That must be kind of odd if you're writing together.
Yeah, it's a little bit weird at times. In a sense that we don't write together, in the sense that we, you know, Jeff will write the lyric and then I'll come along and sing it, but it's kind of weird because often it's about us. But the weirdest thing, of course, was when we first got together, a lot of the songs you wrote were about us and why we weren't going very well together, or et cetera, you know, like that initial period of not quite sure in a relationship. So that was a bit weird, but we're over that now.
Okay, I want to get to one of your older songs. Can you tell me about the song, The Man with the Pink Triangle?
All right, yeah, well, that's kind of probably, if we never wrote any other song, that's probably the one song that still brings the odd tear to my eye after all these years. And it was written after reading a newspaper article about Kitty Fisher, who was attending a ceremony, you know, sort of commemorating victims of the Holocaust. And Kitty herself was a Jewish girl who, with her sister, was imprisoned in the Nazi concentration camps. The thing is that she was saved by a young man who, you know, like, appeared and started to bring her and her sister some scraps of food. Like, later she wasn't quite sure about him, but all she could recognize was that he wore this oddly different symbol at the time. Like, all of her relatives and friends had the Star of David printed on them, but he had this pink triangle. And like, many years later, she kind of, when the sort of recognition of gay and lesbian and gypsy and other people who were also, you know, incarcerated and executed by the Nazis was becoming more prominent, she sort of started thinking about it again. Well, she's got a story to tell, and she felt like she should tell it, and so she started to go to a lot of gatherings, meetings of people living with AIDS, and sort of tell her story and of hope, I suppose, that you know, despite the tragedy that occurred, there was still hope, there's still people giving of themselves in the utmost extremely awful situations. And I guess she did a lot of, you know, sort of talking to people and hopefully bringing some really positive spirits to them. And that's why we kind of really felt that story needed to be told.
Here is the song, The Man with the Pink Triangle.
You were just a child, too young to know, when they took you from your home. And they pushed you in a cattle truck, in a herd but all alone. They put you into Auschwitz, with 3 million more like you. A yellow star upon your back, because you were a Jew. They stripped, denied you everything, they would have took your life. But somehow it was meant to be, that somehow you'd survive. For you, no food, no warmth, no hope, no combat to despair, except a fellow prisoner's love, and somehow that was there. For the man with the pink triangle would come to you each night, and he'd bring to you potatoes raw that somehow saved your life. It was 4 years till you were released. The war came to an end, and somehow you were luckier than your pink triangle friend. He was one of the forgotten ones, a million with no names, whose lives were never counted, with no stones upon their graves. But the man with the pink triangle would come to you each night, and he'd bring to you potatoes raw that somehow saved your life. Near 50 years have passed since then. Now there's nothing that you lack, but you never can forget the man with the pink triangle on his back, and the life that he gave back to you, and his love still live on. Each time that something stirs in you that wants to right a wrong, now you give your time, you give yourself in caring every day, and you give your life and you give your love to those who live with AIDS, while the man with the pink triangle looks on in his own way, knowing that the love he gave burns strong and proud today. For the man with the pink triangle would come to you each night, and he'd bring to you potatoes raw that somehow saved your life. Yes, the man with the pink triangle would come to you each night, and he'd bring to you potatoes raw that somehow saved your life.
One of Peter's songs that I particularly admire, and have already played on this show, is one called Stonewall 69. Peter, can you tell us about that song?
Well, I guess, yeah, again, I'm kind of really the odd one to be talking about it, because my partner Jeff, as I mentioned earlier, is kind of the lyricist, and I'm kind of the songwriter, the tune writer in our kind of setup. But again, you know, when we first got together, Jeff was kind of, you know, he's a little bit older than me. He went through that, the English sort of gay pride thing that was happening in the 70s. Very much influenced by that was the Stonewall events of 1969. You know, there's aspects of it which would have happened unless the people stood up in Stonewall in 69 and said, hey, you know, you've come around and stuffed us around one time too many, and we're just not going to take it anymore. I just think it's pretty much a seminal, if not the seminal event of awareness, awakenings of gay and lesbian pride and transsexual pride, etc., etc.
Wasn't there something in Australia similar to Stonewall about 10 years later?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I guess, you know, this is part of the history that kind of gets glossed over. But I think about 10 years after Stonewall, so it would have been 79, there was decided to have a march in celebration, you know, a commemoration march. And it happened in Australia in about June, which, you know, is our sort of colder period. But the police at the time decided that in their, you know, wisdom or extreme lack thereof, that, hey, we can't allow this sort of thing to happen. You know, like, it was okay for people to go to bars and sort of do what they want to do in the sort of cover of night, but these people are coming out in the open and expressing their sexuality. And not that people were, you know, they weren't rooting on the streets or anything. They were just holding hands or hugging or whatever. But that was a bit too much for our police at the time. It, you know, because they were being oppressed, everybody joined in and it became like a stonewall. It became the beginnings of what was the Mardi Gras. But I guess this was a catalyst, you know, a very strong catalyst.
Let's hear his song, Stonewall 69.
It was a hot and sticky New York night way back in 69, when the cops set out to have themselves a real good smashing time. With guns and batons oozing hate, they piled into their cars, and they rode off to the village to drive the gays out of their bars. Their first stop was at Stonewall like a dozen times before. They chose it cause the people there were all so kind of poor. Puerto Ricans, blacks and whites in that cellar bar run down. It was a place they'd come to call their own in their corner of that town. Okay, you men, let's get them fags. The cop was big and mean. Now I've seen some cops, but man, this one was the ugliest I've seen. With loaded guns and batons drawn, the cops launched their attack. Then a voice rang out, fuck off, you pigs, this time we're fighting back. Yeah, a voice rang out, fuck off, you pigs, this time we're fighting back. Ashtrays, anything were used in self-defense. And when the bleeding cops were beaten back, 300 more were sent. They came with dogs and riot gear like an occupying force. But the heroes of that Stonewall bar stood up bravely for their cause. Yes, we remember Stonewall and that New York summer night, when our people show that we can win if we stand up for our rights. They still attack us with their lies and abuse us cause we're gay. But we're never being driven back, we're proud we're here to stay. No, we're never being driven back, we're proud we're here to stay. No, we're never being beaten back, we're out, we're here to stay.
Peter, are there any gay and lesbian artists you particularly admire?
Yeah, of course. I mean, our own Judy Small is a legend, you know, sort of being openly gay and, you know, being openly upfront about our politics and our sexuality, you know, and being a great gal, you know. So the influence of Judy is huge.
Tell us about your new CD.
The Times We've Been Through?
Yep.
Yeah. It's sort of a distillation of about 4 or 5 years of songwriting we've done. It contains, you know, something that I sort of shooed away from was just these relationship songs, or shied away from, because I thought, no, well, I've got to make a stance, so I've got to say something politically. I mean, other people can do the relationship thing better than me, but this time around, well, we've got a couple of songs that talk about how we've been together for a long time and how our love is still strong, so I thought I'd, you know, just put them on there. It still has a few songs about issues that we've personally felt very strong about over the years. I guess mostly we tend to write more from an international perspective.
That was Peter Hicks, and his new CD is called The Times We've Been Through. And you'll notice that when asked what gay or lesbian artists he admired, he immediately mentioned Judy Small. And Nicky Mortier of the Lavender Blues talked about Judy Small. And it was one of Judy's songs by the Gay Liberation Choir, Festival of Light, that was written by Judy and I used to start the show. So my point is that Judy's been a prominent force in the gay and lesbian music scene in Australia for over 20 years. And in Australia's general folk scene, she is noted for a wonderful song she wrote and recorded called Mothers, Daughters, Wives, which is about three generations of women who have had their men go to war. I'm delighted to be able to bring an interview with her to this show. Judy, how did you get started in folk singing?
Well, I've always been a folky, and I always say that I think that's historical. It's just that I was a child of the 60s, you know. I was born in 1953, so when the folk boom hit, I was like 8, 9, 10, 11. And I think Go Tell It on the Mountain means much more to a child that age than I Can't Get No Satisfaction, you know. So I just fell in love with the folk music, and particularly with the women's voices. Their music just spoke to me in a way that pop and rock didn't at that time. And it always has. I've always been interested in music that has something to say more than I love you, baby, will you be mine? So I guess that's why I'm a folky, and because it fits so well with my politics, because there has always been music in political movements. When I started to get interested in politics, the folk music was already there for me, so the blending of the two just seemed like a natural progression.
That's a wonderful answer.
You just wind me up and I keep going.
Okay, Nicky Mortier of the Lavender Blues told me you once did a warm-up act for them.
That's right.
Do you remember that?
I remember that very well. The Lavender Blues were certainly one of the first, if not the first, lesbian band in Australia. And I did a warm-up concert with them. I think I played with them several times. But the one that I remember most is the one in 1981 when I was really just starting out as a professional performer. And I did a concert with them in a little community hall in suburban Sydney. And that I remember that concert particularly for several reasons. One is that it was the last time that I ever sang with Carol Deegan, who was a very good friend of mine and who was one of the Lavender Blues and who died of cancer a couple of years later. And the other reasons is because that concert led to my professional career. It was after that concert that a group of friends of mine said, well, when are you going to start recording? And I said, oh, I don't know when I get the money. And they said, well, how much would it cost? And I said, hell, I don't know, $10,000. And they said, fine, we'll raise it for you. And they did. So that concert particularly stays in my mind for all sorts of reasons. But the Lavender Blues were, as I say, pretty much the first. And their album, their Lavender Blues album, is still a classic of the genre, I think.
Yes, it took me a while to track that one down.
Your research in finding the Lavender Blues impresses me no end, JD. I think that's just extraordinary.
Well, thank you. I love the music, I love researching it, and I love sharing it. That's what my show is all about.
Well, that's terrific, because frankly, most Australian women wouldn't know who the Lavender Blues were.
Well, a lot of the people my age or younger wouldn't know some of the music I play either.
Mm. Then all I can say is, thank the lucky stars that you were around, JD, to let them know.
Well, thanks again. What was the first song you recorded with Gay Lyrics?
The first song I recorded with Openly Gay Lyrics was a song called Turn Right, Go Straight. And that was in 1983 I recorded that. And that was for my second album, which in America was called Mothers, Daughters, Wives. That was a song about growing up in a religious environment and the messages that one gets. And I got it from a church notice board, of all places. I've noticed that those little notice, you know, those sayings they have on church notice boards are very good for getting quotes for songs. But this one said, to get to heaven, turn right and go straight. And I thought, what a wonderful thing to be able, you know, to be able to write a song about. And so I did.
Tell us about the song, Country Town Gay Time Blues.
That was one of the first songs I ever wrote. It was certainly the first gay and lesbian song I ever wrote. And I actually wrote that song in about 1978, when I had left the country town that I grew up in and gone to the city to go to university. And I wrote it for a special concert, I think. There was a women's concert, and for some reason I'd been asked to sing at it, and so I wrote that song for it. It's partly true. It's mostly true. Some of the characters in it are fictional, and some of them are real. Not particularly. I don't think it matters which is which. It's certainly my experience that most people who grew up in small communities have some sort of the same experience that I did, which is, you know, feeling like you're alone, but knowing you're not, and not really being able to say anything about that. But I just wanted to make the point that, you know, we are everywhere. It's as simple as that.
I grew up in a country town. In places like that, they put you down for being left-handed, let alone gay. Well, the local hairdresser headed the list drawn up by the townsfolk. Oh, but they missed a hell of a lot of people along the way. There was the lifeguard at the swimming pool, the lady who taught me Sunday school, a doctor and a butcher and a dentist occasionally. There was the football coach and a teacher or two. The matron at the hospital knew that half her nurses were. And then there was me. Well, I was 14 when I realized that what I felt when I looked in the eyes of the pom-pom captain was love at first sight. She was tall and dark and a rider, and when I looked at her, I knew that I was one of them.
was right. I'd follow her around on a capture bus, even though she didn't live anywhere near us. I just wanted to be with her all the time. Of course, she didn't know the way I felt. She didn't know that every night I knelt beside my bed, afraid she could be mine. Meanwhile, there was the lifeguard at the swimming pool, the lady who taught me Sunday school, a doctor and a butcher and a dentist occasionally. There was the football coach and a teacher or two. The matron at the hospital knew that half the nurses were, and then there was me. Some fool from our hometown settled down and had a kid. And I went with men, but my thoughts returned to the women I'd known. And soon I learned I'd have to either explode or raise the lid. So I broke out instead of breaking down. And now when I think of that country town, I smile when I think of the things I didn't know then. Like what I could tell the clergyman's wife about the other side of a husband. Amen. There was the lifeguard at the swimming pool, the lady who taught me Sunday school, a doctor and a butcher and a dentist occasionally. There was the football coach and a teacher or two. The matron at the hospital knew that half her nurses were. And then there was me. There was the lifeguard at the swimming pool, the lady who taught me Sunday school.
And what about the sergeant's son? Assistant, I reckon she's one. And that bloke next door to the girl next door to the fella who owned a hardware store, for sure. And that woman on the corner and the man at the zoo. And you out there, hey, what about you?
That was Country Town Gaytime Blues. On one of my earlier radio shows, I did a segment on songs about Anita Bryant, and I played Festival of Light. Can you tell us about that song?
Well, Festival of Light is originated in England, and of course it's a right-wing Christian morality group, much like the Moral Majority. And like the Moral Majority, the Festival of Light is neither festive nor enlightened, in my opinion. It was started by an English woman called Mary Whitehouse, who I guess was the Anita Bryant of her day in England. She only died last year. She was a fairly elderly sort of woman even then. And it came to Australia, that movement, and I guess the English version came here before the American version did, and so our right-wing Christians formed themselves into the Festival of Light rather than the Moral Majority. And it was about the time when I wrote that, was about the time of the scandal of Florida Orange Juice and Anita Bryant, so she made it in there as well.
Great, great. I love that song.
Thank you.
From looking at your various works over the years, you haven't shied away from including openly gay and lesbian songs. Has this ever been a problem for you?
You know, people ask me that all the time, and my answer is, I don't know. Nobody will ever tell me if they don't hire me because I'm gay or lesbian or because I sing about lesbian issues, so I really don't know. I've sort of blithely gone ahead and assumed that it doesn't damage my career and just sung about it anyway. I've always seen my lesbianism as being similar to being right-handed, you know. Everything I do as a right-handed person, whether or not I'm using my hands. So in the same way, everything I do in life, I do as a lesbian, whether or not it involves women or sex. Mm-hmm. And I see it as being as relevant and as irrelevant as being right-handed. So I've never really, you know, I sing about it in the same way as I sing about every other issue I sing about. And I really don't know how it's affected me.
You've done a number of U.S. women's festivals. How do you think your music was received by the audiences here, and how has this changed over the years?
It has changed over the years. I'm not so much a novelty anymore. When I first started touring in America, which was the early to mid-1980s, I was different. I was different because I talked differently, because my perspective on the world was different. I think being in America gives you a particular view of the world, and you don't actually get very many other views of the world when you live in America. And so I was able to bring effectively a what a sort of fresh perspective, I guess, on issues that were affecting Americans, but from a different angle, I guess. So in that sense, when I first came there, I was sort of this novelty new person. And now I feel a bit like I'm part of the American establishment as far as folk music and women's music goes.
To my mind, your style of folk singing could be compared to that of Holly Near, in that both of you are among the leading singers in your own countries, but yet you sing women's songs, you sing lesbian songs, and you sing especially songs about entirely different subjects.
That's right. And can I say that I think it's incredibly flattering to be compared to Holly Near. Holly's been a heroine of mine for many, 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 many years, and if anybody compares me with her, that's just fine with me. The thing about folk music is that it isn't narrow, that folk is a very broad church, and it does encompass almost any kind of music and almost any topic you want to sing about that you can think of. And in that sense, Holly and I are both similar and different in the sense that we have that broad range, and while we have some topics in common, like the women's stuff and some of the peace stuff, we also have very different things that we sing about, which all fall into the folk category because it is such a broad category of music.
How did you first meet Holly Near?
Well, believe it or not, she was actually at that workshop. She was singing in that workshop at the Vancouver Folk Festival when I first sang Mother's Daughter's Wives in North America. And as a result of that, my then partner and I, who later became my manager, were invited to come and see one of Holly's shows in Berkeley a few weeks later, which we did. And we then made the connection with Redwood Records, which was Holly's label. And Redwood later released my albums in America. And in between, Holly did a tour of Australia while I was recording the Mother's Daughter's Wives album and came and did the backing vocals, bless her heart, on a couple of tracks. So I had that sort of connection with her once the albums were released in America, which gave them a bit of a push along, I think.
What gay and lesbian artists do you particularly admire?
Oh boy, that's a very hard question, JD, because I admire all of them, really. I thought the Flirtations were wonderful. I just loved the Flirts. And of course there were the women like Holly and like, and can I just say, while we're sort of segueing from Holly into that stuff, there's a lot of talk among women's groups about Holly calling herself a lesbian or being lesbian friendly or whatever because she now lives with a man. And I just want to be on the record of saying I don't care who anybody has relationships with. If they're women identified and women centered, then that's fine by me. And I'm certainly not going to judge anybody for falling in love with someone who happens to be male. But anyway, to go on from there, apart from her, of course, Chris Williamson and Meg Christian were the two first women that I heard apart from the Lavender Blues. And now, of course, there are so many wonderful gay and lesbian singer-songwriters and people. There's an Australian man called Peter Hicks who writes wonderful, wonderful stuff.
I was going to ask you about him. I interviewed him last week.
Oh, did you? Mm-hmm. Oh, wonderful. Okay. And then there's the Canadian singer-songwriter Heather Bishop, whose music I really love. You know, it's really hard to sort of list them all. It's almost like whoever I listed, if I went on for an hour, I'd still miss some out.
Tell us about your latest CD, Let the Rainbow Shine.
As I said before, I've been recording songs about gay and lesbian issues for a very long time. And I had had over the years just enormous support from the gay and lesbian community, and particularly from the lesbian community. They have always been the core of my audience, even in the folk music scene. And so I sort of wanted to give something back, I guess, and make an album just for the gay and lesbian community. I mean, not that it's just for the gay and lesbian community, but particularly for the gay and lesbian community. And the way that came about, I just love this story. We just sent out to the universe and said, hey, Judy wants to make an album about gay and lesbian issues. Can anyone help? And we got donations of money from literally all over the world. We got them from Sweden, from Fiji, from South Africa. We it was just extraordinary. People just sent us money so that I could make an album of gay and lesbian songs. And so I did.
Do you have a favorite song from that CD?
I have a different favorite song every week from that CD. I think at the moment, I really like Influenced by Queers simply because those issues are still around and I'm still hearing right-wing people in this country anyway saying, you know, well, I don't care what you do. If you want to be gay or lesbian, that's your business, but don't come anywhere near my children. You know, that sort of ridiculous stuff. So I think that's one of my favorites at the moment.
Let's hear Influenced by Queers.
See them on the television, hear them on the radio, read it in the magazines, it's everywhere you go. I don't care what people do behind the locks of bedroom doors, who you are in private, there is nobody's affair but yours. But there's a line that should be drawn in order to avoid the tears, and I don't want my children being influenced by queers. I don't want my children being influenced by queers.
Hello, this is Judy Small. I'm in Melbourne, Australia, and we don't have queer music heritage, but if I was in Houston, I'd be listening to it on KPFT.
Well, this has been my all-Australian show, and I could have done several shows with all the other Aussie artists I have in my collection. I wish I could have included more of them. I want to close tonight's show with the title track from Judy's latest CD, which is called Let the Rainbow Shine, and to get her to say a few words about it. But before I do, I want to thank you all for listening, and I want to thank Nikki Mortier of the Lavender Blues, Peter Hicks, and Judy Small for their interviews. If you have questions or comments about any of the music I featured, please write to me at qmheritage@aol.com. And please check out my website at www.queermusicheritage.com. This is J.D. Doyle for Queer Voices on KPFT in Houston, and I'll be back on the fourth Monday of next month with another installment of Queer Music Heritage. My last question for Judy was to tell us about the song Let the Rainbow Shine.
Well, that came from a question from somebody in the media, actually, in the straight media, who asked me why it is that the gay and lesbian community has adopted the rainbow as its symbol. And I didn't know. I had no idea. I mean, I assumed it was something about diversity, but I had no idea of the actual, the actual reasons. And I thought, well, I wonder what those colours might mean. So I sort of wrote them down and thought of things that might, you know, be relevant to our community, and away it went.
Let the rainbow shine, let the rain. secrets and lies. We open our hearts and the rainbow shines. Red for the blood and red for the shame. Red for the fire and the faggot's flame. Red for the anger, red for the pain. Orange for the new day dawning. And orange for the bitterness of hatred we know. Orange for the warmth of the fireside glow. Orange for the passion of love running wild. Yellow for the golden moments. Let the rainbow shine. Let the rainbow shine. Let the rainbow shine.